Armstrong, the all-American boy.
Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be champions, known throughout the land.
Wheaties, breakfast of champions, bring you the thrilling adventures of Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. Now, here's a dramatized scene that's probably taking place in a good many cities these days. Listen. After defeating West High by a score of 14 to nothing, the North High football squad are just entering their dressing room. As Chuck Frederick, North's captain, sits on the bench, Jim Powers approaches.
Got a minute, Chuck?
Why, sure, Jim. Sit down.
It was a great game you turned in today, making 12 out of the 14 points we got.
Thanks, Jim.
Look, I'm tired of sitting on the bench and watching you fellas having all the fun. I want to get in at least one quarter of a game anyway.
Oh, I'll tell you something, Jim. I was talking to Coach Walton about you the other day, and we both agreed on one thing.
What was that?
Well, we agreed that you had plenty of natural ability, but, well, you just weren't in good enough physical shape to make the grade.
But doggone it, Chuck, I feel good.
Feeling good isn't enough, Jim. You've got to get a regular year-round training program and stick to it. Take me, for instance. I've followed Jack Armstrong's training program for a couple of years now. And I'm here to tell you it's the clear dope.
What's it all about?
Simple as ABC. Get plenty of fresh air, sleep and exercise. Keep clean and eat a breakfast of champions every morning.
Say, it sounds all right.
All right, nothing. Well, it's darn near perfect. And if you want to taste a breakfast dish that'll give your appetite something to live for, try Wheaties with milk and fruit.
How so?
Well, it's got a flavor that tops any other breakfast dish I ever tasted. Coach Walton told me about it. He said that, well, that many of the great college coaches all over the country recommend a breakfast of champions as a part of Jack Armstrong's training program. And I'm with him 100%. Why don't you start training Jack Armstrong's way, Jim?
Gosh, it sounds plenty good to me. Tell you what I'll do. I'll start right off with a breakfast of champions tomorrow morning.
And fellows and girls, there's a mighty good idea for you, too. Remind Mother to get you a couple of packages of Wheaties right away. Then tell her that you want to start training Jack Armstrong's way tomorrow morning for sure with Wheaties, milk and fruit, a breakfast of champions. And now, Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. Jack, Billy, and Betty and Uncle Jim have completed their voyage across the Pacific in their two-masted schooner Spindrift. They have just rounded the southern end of the Philippines and are approaching the Moro village of Cotabango on the island of Mindanao. They're on their way to salvage a quantity of the rare element uranium-235, which lies somewhere in a wrecked yacht in the Sulu Sea. But they are stopping in Cotabango to investigate the disappearance of Professor Loring, and to find out the connection between the luminous dragon's eye ring he sent them and the rich deposits of uranium which are rumored to lie in the interior of Mindanao. Jack is at the wheel, and Uncle Jim and Billy are at the sheets as the Spindrift fights a headwind entering the harbor of Cotabango. Betty is sitting on the cabin, watching the foaming breakers toss their spray against the rugged Mindanao coast. Listen.
Those cliffs with the palm trees at the base along the shore look just like a picture.
And look at that village over there, Betty. Gosh, it's like something in the movie.
That's Cotabango, isn't it, Uncle Jim?
Yes, that's Cotabango, the town we sailed clear across the Pacific to reach.
Those houses look awfully high up above the ground.
Oh, they're not above the ground, Betty. They're just built over the water.
Yeah, can't you see? They're up on long pilings.
They look as if they were walking on stilts.
That looks like a wharf over there.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. That's mighty funny.
What do you mean, Jack?
Well, I sort of half expected to see the black shark tied up to the Cotabango wharf or anchored near when we arrived.
So did I. With her auxiliary engine, she'd certainly get here before we did. I don't see any sign of her.
Well, without much question, the black shark is somewhere in the Philippines. But luckily, Dr. Chapato didn't know which port in the islands we were making for. There are an awful lot of ports, so let's hope it takes Dr. Chapato a long time to locate us.
You can say that again.
Well, let's not worry about Chapato and the black shark now. They probably won't find our trail for some time. So let's enjoy life and not think about unpleasant things until we have to.
Yes, this scene is too peaceful and too beautiful to be spoiled.
Well, it won't be long before we can drop anchor and get ashore.
Boy, won't it feel good to have solid ground under our feet once more.
Oh, Jack, look at that odd-looking little sailboat with a square red and blue sail coming up the coast.
Well, that's called a Vinta, Betty. The Moros use them.
I can't see it, Jack. Can you, Uncle Jim?
It's just disappeared, Billy.
Disappeared, Uncle Jim?
Gee, Jiminy, do they do it with mirrors? They didn't do it with mirrors this time, Billy. There's a cove in the shore there, and the Vinta just sailed into that cove.
Oh, but look, Jack, there are two more Vintas coming up the shore now. And with such beautiful sails. One has red stripes like the setting sun, and the other looks like a scrambled rainbow.
And look how fast they move along.
Hand me the glasses, Betty. Thanks. It looks as if they were chasing that first Vinta.
But why would they chase the first Vinta, Uncle Jim? Aren't they all Moros?
Oh, there are all sorts of Moros, Betty. Sometimes the different tribes are at war. Sometimes a Moro tribe gets converted to Christianity. The other tribes don't like that.
Can you see how many Moros are in the Vintas, Uncle Jim?
Three or four in each Vinta, Jack. One of the Moros is pointing toward that cove. Something's up. No doubt about that.
Jump on Jiminy. I hope they don't come out and fight over us. It was bad enough when Blackbeard and Geppetto were after us in Honolulu.
Oh, they aren't apt to bother us, Billy, unless we mix in their affairs.
They're all disappearing in the same cove, Uncle Jim.
We'll go in and take a look at it, Betty. The wind is still ahead, and I have to come about and make one more tack before we can reach Cotabongo. Stand by the jib sheets, Billy.
I've got them, Jack.
Let's fly the jib sheets.
Hard to lee.
Now trim your jib sheets, Billy. We can point straight for the cove and see what's going on.
Gee whiz, Jack. Are you sure we want to see what's going on?
It won't do any harm to know what it's all about, Billy. We've got to stay with these Moros a while and see what we can find out about the disappearance of Professor Loring.
Now, that's right, Uncle Jim. If he's still alive, he may be held prisoner by some tribe along the coast.
And don't forget the luminous dragon's eyes ring, Billy. There's a lot we've got to find out about that.
Hey, Betty, we aren't going to interfere with every bunch of Moros we see just to ask them about the ring.
Oh, of course we're not, Billy. We may have to visit a great many tribes. And the more we can find out about these tribes, the safer it'll be.
Hey, look, Billy. Here comes that first fiend out of the cove again.
Where, Jack? Oh, yeah, I see him. He's in line with that mountain peak.
Say, isn't he headed in this direction?
Well, it looks that way, Jack. I'll take a peep through the glasses. Yes, he's headed away from shore. And there's just one man in the Vinta.
It's funny he should be headed out to sea now when before he was just sailing along the coast.
I still think he was sailing away from those other Vintas, Billy. He probably went into the cove to see if he could escape that way. But the cliffs may have looked too steep for him.
He's changing his direction a little. Uncle Jim... Now he's heading straight for us.
You're right, Jack. Straight for us. And I can see him clearly through the glasses. He's looking back toward the cove.
There come the other Vintas, Uncle Jim. Look, they're coming this way, too.
I'll bet you that the first guy is coming to us to help him escape.
Uncle Jim, do you mind if I wear off the wind a little? We'll get to him quicker.
Oh, but jump on Jiminy Crickets, Jack. We'll get to the other Vintas quicker, too.
So we will, Billy. And I can see that they've got their barongs and bolos with them, too. They're going to give that lone Moro a warm time if they catch up with him. Go ahead, Jack. Wear off. If Billy doesn't mind.
I don't mind, Uncle Jim. If they really are after that fellow, I suppose we ought to help them.
And ease up on the fore and main sheets, Billy. We'll give this runaway Moro a chance.
But suppose the other Moros don't like it.
Well, they won't like it, Betty. But I don't think they can do much about it. Once we get this fellow aboard, we can outsail any Vinta against the wind.
That's enough, Billy. We'll intercept him in short order now.
Boy, we better head. It looks to me as if the other Vintas are gaining on him.
Yeah, they're larger Vintas. They can sail fast.
Look how long and slender they are. Well, they must be dug out of tree trunks.
That's just how they are made, Betty. And the bamboo outriggers on each side keep them from turning over.
Oh, I hope that fellow gets to us first. Let me look through the glasses, Uncle Jim.
Here they are, Betty.
Oh, Jack, I can see long, curved knives on the belts of the Moros who are chasing him.
Those are barongs, Betty. They make a wonderful weapon in a fight. And if you look closely, you'll see a couple of long knives with curvy blades, like a bread knife. That's called a crease.
And one Moro is brandishing a long, straight dagger with a wide blade. Oh, he looks awful fierce.
That dagger's called the bolo. That's a dangerous weapon, too. Just to fight our soldiers with bolos in the insurrection.
Gosh, Betty, can't you see anything cheerful through those glasses? Aren't some of their boats sinking or something?
No, they're not, Billy. And they're gaining on that poor Moro who's by himself.
Give me the glasses, will you, Betty? I just want to see those Moro weapons at a distance before I see them at close range. Holy smoke, Jack. They do look like mean things to run into on a dark night.
Yeah, but there's a hot tropical sun overhead, Billy, so it's all right.
I don't like the looks of that tall Moro standing up in the bow of his bean and waving his bolo about. Gosh almighty, he looks ready for action and plenty mad.
I'll bet he'll be madder yet if that chap gets away from them.
But he isn't going to get away from them. They're closing in on him.
But we're closing in on him too, Billy. It'll be a close shave, but I think we'll make it.
How do you plan to pick him up, Jack?
I'll come up to leeward of him and then come about. If I do it right, we can pass him a line before I pick up speed.
That's right, Jack. But you'll have to judge it pretty closely. If you get too close to him, you'll smash up his bamboo outriggers.
Will you heave him the line, Uncle Jim?
Yes. Getting one coiled up now. Going to be Nip and Tuck who gets to him first.
Uncle Jim, they're getting terribly close to him. I can see their turbans and their funny-looking pants.
Those are pantaloons, Billy.
Look, Uncle Jim, they're brandishing their barongs and bolos at us now.
I bet they're trying to scare us off, Billy. But we can't be scared off now. Malone Morrow is waving to us. He's signaling for help.
Gosh, he'll need help, all right. We're going to be too late to save him.
I don't think so, Billy. Stand by the jib sheets. I'm going to spin about in a moment.
Okay, Jack. Say, you're coming in awful close to him.
I won't hit him, but I want to make sure I come about close enough to throw him a line.
Oh, hurry, Jack. They're catching up with him quickly.
Take it easy, Betty. I can't get out and push.
Oh, he's calling to us. Can you understand him, Uncle Jim?
No, Betty. I only speak the Tagalog dialect used by the Filipinos around Manila.
Hey, he sounds scared to death, Uncle Jim.
Those other Venus are almost close enough for the men to throw their bolos at him.
They're almost up with him now. They're getting ready to jump on his Venus.
But he's going almost as fast as they are, Betty. Uncle Jim, is your line all ready?
All ready, Jack.
Are you all set, Billy?
All set, Jack. Chimney crickets, we'd better hurry.
Let's fly the jib sheets. Hard to leave.
Okay, Jack.
Leave the line, Uncle Jim.
Oh, good shot. He got it. Look, Uncle Jim. One of those Venus is alongside his boat. They're making fast.
You'd better go overboard. They've got him 3-1.
Oh, they've got their bolos with them. They're rushing up to the bow.
He's fighting with one of them now, Betty. Look at that.
Oh, Uncle Jim, one Morrow is getting around behind him.
I know, Betty. Why doesn't the idiot jump?
The third Morrow is after him now.
You better hurry up and do something. Our sails are filling. I can't hold the schooner much longer.
Oh, he's jumped.
And he's got our line. Pull him in, Uncle Jim. Here, let me help you.
I can get him to the boat, Billy. You stand by to help me pull him aboard.
Easy.
Look, another Morrow is overboard after him. They're fighting in the water.
He's gotten away, Betty. He's wounded the other Morrow. Oh, quick, Uncle Jim. Let's pull him up.
Here he comes, Billy.
Get him on board, quick. We're picking up speed.
Lend a hand now, Billy. Lay hold.
Okay. The other Venus are chasing us, Uncle Jim.
Grab all sheets, quick. Turn them flat. Get head upwind and get away from it.
Say, who is this strange Morrow whom Uncle Jim and Billy have just saved from his enemies? And why was he being so relentlessly pursued by those other Moros in their Ventus? Will it have any bearing on Uncle Jim's search for Professor Loring? Will this Moro know anything about the mystery of the luminous ring which Uncle Jim has on board? Things are beginning to happen to the crew of the schooner Spindrift even before they make port at Cotabango. So be on hand, all of you, at the same time tomorrow and see what happens when the Spindrift reaches port in another thrilling episode of the Luminous Dragon's Eye Ring, with Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. What did you do this afternoon when you got home from school? I hope for your sake you hiked right out into the kitchen and helped yourself to a heaping big bowl of those extra good Wheaties flakes. If you did, you got in on one of the swellest tasting afternoon lunches I ever came across. And if you didn't have those whole wheat flakes this afternoon, well, try them tomorrow. It's my bet you'll have your order in for Wheaties every afternoon.
Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all of the bran. Won't you try Wheaties?
This is Franklin McCormick saying goodbye until tomorrow for General Mills, makers of Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions, who have just presented another episode of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy.
The best food in the land. Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be champions.